getting back to what we were talking about here, there are some things that just like Ernest brought forth, it takes time for God to do things for us. Do you think God can do it instantaneously? Sure he could, but why doesn't he? We need to learn why we're going through that, why we're doing a certain thing. One of those things is what I'm going to talk to you about today. We talk a lot about prayer, don't we? We talk a lot about it, about prayer. So we got to make sure we understand how it works and we get the understanding of prayer. Now, when we were in religion, what we did, we thought we could pray for everything. You know, we said, I need a new van, so I'm going to pray for a new van. I need a new house. I need some more money, so I'm praying for the deal on the job so I can get the promotion and I can do this and that. We prayed for a lot of things that concerned us, what we wanted to do in this life, right? When we were sick, we expected God to instantaneously heal us. If we had a cold, come up, get prayed for, it's gone. It's supposed to be gone, right? And when it wasn't, then we started doing what? We started doing what? We started wondering, well, why didn't that work? I'm talking about in religion now. But when I say religion, there are some people here that still have thoughts like that. Why? Why doesn't God take this away instantly? Why doesn't this happen this way? You see what we say out there? So what Ernest started off with was very good. There's a preparation in your heart to believe God. It's as simple as that. And one of the things that's important for us to understand is what prayer really means and what it's for. I'm going to read you something here. And it's very important. I wrote some scriptures up on the board, but I'm going to tell you what that's about in a second. But I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Actually, 13. And you've heard this before. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is the equipment spiritually that God gives you to be able to stand in this warfare against the enemy, okay? Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, these are spiritual things, breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that's usually where we stop. We stop and we say, this is the armor of God, right? We stop too early. Now listen to the next part I'm going to read. This is still all part of this. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Remember when Ernest was talking earlier about maybe taking the person's hand or praying one for another and whatever? We always keep considering so much about ourselves. What did this just say? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Don't just keep thinking about yourself, but all of us that are in this, okay? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So this is the Apostle Paul. He said, don't leave me out. I'm part of ministry. Pray for me. I'm the apostle that established the church. Pray for me. I'm in bonds. I'm in a prison right now. Pray for me. See what he's saying? So he brings back the armor and tells us how to do that. Then he talks about prayer and supplication. What's the difference? What's the difference between prayer and supplication? Anybody know? If you want, we got a mic there if you want to say something. What's the difference between praying to God and there's a supplication to God? And you see this a lot. You see it in the Psalms, prayer and supplication. You see it in the New Testament, prayer and supplication. I'm going to make it very simple for you this morning. The prayer is the asking God, communicating with God, right? Supplication is your need, what the need is. So we're always asking God, we're praying, we're communicating, And then we do the supplication, which is the need. Okay. Now, what did we do? We talked about something something natural today, having a need in the church, didn't we? But what this is talking about is spiritual. It's not talking about what we do here. It's not talking about a physical thing. It's talking about the supplication in the mind, in the consciousness that we're putting before the throne of God. In other words, God, this is a need I have for my very spirit, for my very soul, for the church, for the temple in me. I am the church. That temple in the church is what I need finished up the way you want it. So it's very important for us to understand that this prayer and supplication, yes, God gives us the armor to put on. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What a sword of the spirit. What is the shield of faith? All of these things. He's given us that, right? But we stopped too early because the other weapon that he gave us was prayer and supplication. That's the other weapon. And it's a huge weapon because it's how you communicate with God about what you think you need. Because I say it that way, because we think we need this, 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 and this. And God says, no, I can supply what you need in one word. And that's all it's going to take for you, believe it or not. So that's how it works. We give God a laundry list a lot of times. That's what we do. And we put a lot of this stuff here on the laundry list. That's what we say. Just like I told you a little while ago, I need a car, I need a house, I need a dog, I need a companion, I need a cat, I need a new van, I need gas in my car, I need a new job, I need this, I need that. Great. Great. You're thinking about that. But what if I told you that happens to everybody in this world? They need a dog, they need a cat, they need a van, they need a job, they need a promotion. That's everybody, isn't it? What did God say about that? He said he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Because then he would be an unjust God if he blessed Laura because she's, you know, a Christian following him and then don't bless anybody else. You see how that works? And then people could point their fingers toward heaven and say, you're an unjust God. You're doing this for these people over here and you're not doing anything for me. But God says all of these things that happen here, they happen to everybody alike. Everybody alike. But religion teaches you that somehow God's going to pull you out of that and separate you and make you different. There was a lady that we knew one time. She said she traveled a lot. She was an evangelist. And she said she'd get on the plane and she'd tell everybody, you know, this is how they did in religion. Well, this plane's not going to go down. All of y'all are safe. And I said, well, why are you making a statement like that? She says, I'm on here. I said, okay, you better watch yourself because that may be the one that's going to go down. with that pride and that arrogance, you know, you see what I'm saying? They got guys doing that now. Oh, wait. You guys have to give me an offering so I can buy me a 27-seat jet. Because I don't want to travel with everybody else on the airlines because I don't want to be caught in this silver tube with a bunch of sinners, a bunch of devils. Have you heard that story? And now you have to contribute so I can buy me a brand new jet and I can fly by myself. And I don't have to be bothered with all the devils on the plane on United and Continental and, you know, American, whatever. I don't have to fly that way like everybody else. See, that's stupid, guys. And that's here, isn't it? Isn't it here? But they say that's what God told them to ask the people for. God said that. Hey, I can tell you right now, that's a lie. God's not going to ask you to buy a jet for somebody. He's just not going to do it. This is what we're talking about in these days. There's so much graft is what I call it out there. Hypocrisy. Cheating, lying, whatever, in the name of God. So what are we going to show you here now? We're going to show you that prayer is different because they told you to pray for these things and to give offerings for them, right? That prayer is different than that. Prayer is about your spiritual life. Get that in your head. Prayer is about your spiritual life. And people say, well, what about when I pray when I'm sick? Whatever. We're going to get to that. And let me tell you, we're going to do that where we can ask questions. We're going to do that Wednesday night. because I want you to be able to ask me every question about concerning that, because that's a big thing nowadays, don't you? You see it everywhere. And they say, well, come up here for healing. Come up here for that. God wants to do this for you. What if I told you the healing that he wants to do is for your sin-sick soul, and he's not so much worried about what's going on in your body? Everybody goes through things alike. And if that was the case, then I'm just going to take myself for an example. I'm not going to put anybody else on the spot. But if that was the case, they would say, here's what some religions say. If you're sick or have a condition, you must have sinned somehow. Have you ever heard that? You must have sinned somehow. Because why do you keep going through all of these things? You must have sinned. What did you do wrong? That's what they said, right? Okay, so the scripture in the Bible does just the opposite. Remember the blind kid? Jesus walks up and his disciples are with him. And the parents are bringing the child to Jesus. And the first thing the disciples asked, they said, Lord, did he sin or did his parents sin because he's in this condition? And Jesus kind of looks at him like, oh, man, this is why I need to teach you. That's why you're disciples and you're following me. He said, neither one of them sinned. The parents didn't sin and the kid didn't sin. He was born that way. So what sin did he commit? Being born blind, Patty. So what sin did he commit to be born that way as a baby? None. But he's trying to get their attention. He said, this was done. This child is blind so that the glory of God can come forth. Because in prophecy, it said I was going to heal. And when I come forth and I say what I say and do what I do, that's when God acts. That's when my Father comes forth and does what he's going to do. So no, he didn't do anything wrong. His parents didn't do anything wrong. But religion will tell you sometimes the reason you don't get healed, you don't have enough faith. You sinned. You did this. You did that. That's why it didn't work. Well, you have it on the wrong premise in the first place. That's not what God is after. He's after healing your sin-sick soul. He wants to heal your thoughts. He wants to heal your consciousness, because no matter what happens to the body, you can still be with God. Now, all you got to do is go back to the book of Job and read that. Didn't Job tell us? He said, you know what? Though these skin worms eat up my body, because that's what eventually happened to him, remember? He said that, man, he had to take a potsherd, you know, a broken piece of pottery, and scrape his skin to get the worms off and to get the blisters off and to get the things that were happening. He was in boils, he called them, and he had to scrape the boils, and in the boils were worms. And he's sitting there looking at this, eating up his body. Now, go back and read that. That's what he says. But he said, you know what? I'm going through all of this. But he said, but yet in my flesh, I'm going to see God. Didn't he say that? He said, yeah, you do. Though the skin worms eat me up, whatever, I'm going to hold on to my faith in God. And in my flesh, I shall see God. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? How many of us could do that when all that's happening to us? You know the story. Everything was taken away from him. Children dead, everything. All of his possessions. And yet he said, I'm going to hold on to my integrity. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love it. I love it. So we have the example, don't we? And was he blessed with twice as much at the end of the trial? What did you say, Ernest? It takes time for God to teach us and take us through. Do you think he was praying all that time? I know he was. Was he getting bad advice during that time? Yes, he was. From religious thought inside of him, he was getting bad advice. Friends. So, some of our friends are frenemies, not friends. You get what I'm saying? Very important for you to understand that. But what we're trying to get to you right now is that prayer is one of the weapons God uses for us to overcome. In our spiritual life, prayer is what's going to help us to overcome. Now, I wrote some special scriptures up on the board. I hope you write them down, take them, leave them up there. And what I want you to do, these are prayers of Jesus. Major prayers, I'm going to put it that way. Jesus prayed a lot more than what I have written up there. But what I want you to take in on this, there's a pattern in this. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the pattern is. See how he starts off every prayer. This is Jesus praying. see how he starts off every prayer and see who he's addressing, see who he's thanking, see what he's doing to start the prayer off. He gave us an example. Father, Father, Father. You catch where I'm going with this? Why did I write it down? It's important. This is special prayers that he's doing for special circumstances. Okay? And you read that, look how he addresses the Father and look at the things that he says. You know what we need to start doing? Let's start making our pattern like the prayer that Jesus did toward the Father. That's what we need to pattern ourselves after. And look at the things he asked for. Somebody tell me, do you ask for a donkey or a cart or food? Or, you know, we ask for cars and food and going places and I need a new job. Did he ask for any of that? Look at the example that he does. We need to follow the same example. I'm using the basics this morning. I'm not going into the deeper things of it yet until Wednesday night. But I just want you to understand that that's a weapon. Jesus realized he could use the weapon to fight the adversary. Who's our adversary? It's the devil like a roaring lion. Isn't it like, what doesn't he say that? It's the devil. It's Satan. That's the man of sin, all of it. We're fighting against those things. And I'm going to read another scripture to you. I think it may be in this same area or maybe a little bit different. Where's that at, Ernest, where it talks about, I know the other one is 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But the other one, it talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. Isn't that in Ephesians also? But is it chapter 5 or instead of 6? See if you can find that for me so you can read it. But it talks about the spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is what the prayer and supplication is for. Because the spiritual wickedness in high places, is it out there somewhere? Or is it in us because the whole kingdom of God is in us? Is the whole Bible in us? Is the good and evil in us? Is this what God wants us to understand, that spiritually, in our consciousness, there's a battle going on? And some of you know the battle that's going on in you, don't you? And there's evil against good. And sometimes evil is called good and good is called evil, isn't it? Those are things. So what do we need for the discernment? What do we need to help us in this thing? The right prayer, because God will guide us by prayer. It's a weapon. We need to start understanding that prayer is a weapon for us. What does it say there, Ernest? You have that?
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 or 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wow. And then after that, he tells us about the armor and all that other stuff, huh? So it's in the same place where I started. So in Ephesians chapter 6, he's telling you this is what we're fighting against. No. I need a promotion on my job. That's preeminent right now. I need a new house. That's preeminent right now. My car is kind of messed up. I need a new car. That's preeminent. And none of that is going to get you anywhere against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're talking about what God wants to do in us. The inward man, he wants us to understand that this battle is within, and this is very important. Our very soul is at stake in this battle. So he gives us the armor, right? But we cut off too soon in reading the armor, because when we get to that other verse there, it starts talking about prayer, 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 prayer and supplication. Prayer is the asking. The supplication is the need. What is the need that we have before God? We need to have our souls saved. We need to have our thoughts changed. We need to be, you know, have our mind and our heart taken care of. You know, it talks about in John 17 about how wicked the heart is, right? Do we need a new heart? Do we have heart problems? Yes, and we're not talking about the type here. We need to have our heart redone. What does he say in the psalm? Creating me a... We need a new one, guys. Need a new heart, because the heart we have has a lot of wickedness in it. We think a lot of wicked things, don't we? So he says, give me a new heart. How did he do that? David was praying when he asked that, wasn't he? He's saying, oh, Father, here we go again. He's praying to the Father to give him a new heart. Change the heart. Make me clean on the inside. That's not what we've been praying for. See? But that's what we need to pray for. And I say that because I know what some of the prayers have been. People say, please pray for me so that this will happen or that will happen. And I'll tell them, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray God's will be done. I'm serious. How many of you get calls like that or people talking to you? I want this. I want that. I want this. I'll pray for you, but don't direct me in the prayer. You know why? Because I'm going to pray God's will for your life, which is going to be much better than what you're asking for right now. You just don't understand right now. That's the thing, right? A weapon that needs to be understood is what prayer is all about. We need to understand why we pray and what's going to happen to us when we do pray. So if there's going to be an example of that, okay, so in the last year, I've had a couple of operations, and I'm going to have two more in the near future, in the next couple of months. I'm going to be doing that again. People say, well, man, you're a pastor. Why are you going through all of those operations and all of this other kind of stuff? Because my body needs it. You know, I need to do that. But other people have to go through the same thing, that the same thing I'm going through. But there's another operation that's being performed on me that I love. And you know what that operation is? God straightening up my mind, my heart, how I think, how I perceive, how he's bringing me what? Discernment. What did Brian talk to us about? He's bringing us more discernment about the spirits we have to deal with. What was that Ernest read? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Where do you think those high places are? High places. Spiritual wickedness. Thoughts that come to you. How many of you have great thoughts come to you all the time? Never have a bad one come to you. Psh. How many of you have those bad thoughts come? The tribulation, the voices that speak, all of those things, the negative, the condemnation, the guilt, all those things. How many times do you have that come to you? How many times do you have things that say, oh, I'm nothing. I don't matter very much. I'm depressed. You know, I can't get my thoughts up any higher. You understand where I'm going? Where do you think all those thoughts are coming from? They're coming from an enemy that wants to defeat you and keep you from coming to God. It opposes God. What is that, Ernest, when it opposes God? Isn't it Antichrist? It's the thought of Antichrist. It opposes God. It opposes the anointing of God. And that's what you're here to listen to and to get. What you have to do is start believing. And I'm talking to everybody in here. You have to start believing more than what you're believing. You hear what I'm saying? Because we need to believe in what God is doing. First step is believing. Actually, I'm going to take that back a little bit. First step is yielding your will. Your will has to be to the point where you do believe. Okay, now, what is that scripture you like so much, Jacob? It talks about he's the author and finisher of our faith. But what does it also say there? Who is the author and finisher of our faith? But it also said you must be a believer, don't you? You got to be a believer. Or if you don't even believe that he is, how are you going to do anything? Some people believe that, well, I don't know if God's even around or if he's concerned about me or whatever. Hey, what if I told you he created you, spoke you into existence? He's concerned about you. You don't know enough about him. You don't understand enough about him to know that he cares for you. You got to believe. I was like that at one time. I figured, you know, I do things by my own strength and by what I think and what I know. You know, I could go to a book or I have enough intelligence or I have enough this or enough knowledge to do this. I thought those things until I ran into something I couldn't do. And that knowledge couldn't overcome it. My strength couldn't take care of it. And then I ran into it. Then what do? Whoa, wait. How am I going to get help? I know where I got my help from. I got mine from God. Because he's trying to show you that as a man, you don't have what it takes to fight a spirit. Does that make sense what I just said? As a man or a woman, you don't have enough to fight a spirit. They're smarter than you are. Devils are. They are. Didn't they fall from a place in heaven? Yes, they did. They're smarter than you are. You need somebody spiritually that can overcome every power that they have and every thought that they have that they bring against you. And you know who that is? That's Jesus. It's as simple as that. So the weapon that needs to be understood is prayer. When we pray as Jesus prayed, every time he prayed to the Father here, something happened. And it happened in heaven and manifested in the earth. That's powerful, huh? I want you to think about that. Now, here's the thing. Let me use an example. I think it's Luke 22. Here it is. Okay, Luke 22:31. Now, this is the Lord talking to Peter. Now, listen to this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and he may sift you as wheat. Look at the two things he says. Satan desires to have you, and he wants to sift you like wheat. Have you ever stopped to think why those two things are written like that? He desires to have you. What does he want from you? Your soul. And to sift you like wheat. Take all of your thoughts, put them on the negative, put you in the thing where you don't believe God, oppose God and everything, go into depression, go into all kinds of anger or pride or whatever. He wants to do all that. He wants to sift you and make you that way. But look at the next part. I love this. He says, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Whew. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I have prayed for you. Is this another one of those prayers where Jesus prayed and something happened? Ooh, man. He says Satan himself wants to get you. Wait a minute. What do you think you are? Do you think Satan wants to get you? Are you a follower of Christ? Was Peter a follower? Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Satan desires to get you and then sift you like wheat once he gets you. But I prayed for you. So that's not going to come to pass. Right? That's not going to come to pass because I prayed for you. The weapon that needs to be understood. Christ is in the prayer. I have prayed for you. Right? So you say, well, he did that for Peter. That was something special. Let's go to Romans 8:26. I love it. Now, this is how it starts off in 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, and we don't until we understand better, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wait a minute. Didn't he do that for Peter? I have prayed for you. Now he's making intercession for who? You. The same way. The way he interceded for Peter, Satan desires to get you. He's interceding for us. Whew. We don't understand the power of prayer. He did it for Peter, and he turned out to be what? The chief apostle. He's doing it for us, and what we turn out to be? The saints of the Most High. The temple of God. Sons of God. He's praying for us. He makes intercession by the Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. No, he wants to take your natural body and heal that little pinky that you hurt. No, no, no. He wants to come in and work in your spirit and change you to believe I can do all things. I can do everything you needed done in your spiritual life. What happens down here doesn't matter. What happens in heaven matters. And that's what I'm trying to get your mind to come to. You keep praying, and I'll put you in heavenly places. Didn't he say it? Keep on praying. Well, it's misunderstood. We're not understanding how powerful prayer is. When you pray to the God that created you, that same creator comes in and says, I love it. You're mine. They shall be mine, saith the Lord. Whew, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Everything that you need in the spirit, I'll give you. Wow, that's so powerful to me. And he's doing it because you communicate with him and you tell him your need. And he said, you're mine and I'll do it. I'll do it. Wow. He's done it for me. I know he has. There are things God has done for me that are impossible for any man to do for me. They couldn't do it. But my relationship in prayer and in the spirit and believing God, that accomplished it, Patty. That made it come to pass. Inside of me, there is a change, not the same man. And that change works from the inside to the outside. And I change it. People say, you're different. That's because Jesus is in me. And the inner man is working now. The new man is working. Isn't that how it works, Jacob? The new man starts to work. The new man speaks. The new man thinks. The new man has a new heart. The new man believes in God. The new man is of the spirit. The new man's mind is in heaven. Whew. All because you communicated with the Father. You prayed to him. He made intercession for you just like he did for Peter. He's doing it right now, guys. So let's upgrade our thought about prayer and what we're praying for. Let's pray for that which is spiritual. There's something in Philippians that I need to say. That's coming to me now. Philippians. Okay, here it is. 4:19. Paul is in this place, and Epaphroditus had been to a place that he sent him, and he had come back and given him a report. He says, I'm going to go to verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full. Guys, he's in prison. He doesn't have everything what we would say naturally. He doesn't have anything. But he says, I'm full because I have God. I'm full of God. I'm full of everything God has done for me. Epaphroditus came back and gave me a report of the church, and it made me feel even better. I am full. That's what he's telling them, okay? I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he says this, and I want you to think about it too. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's our Father, isn't he? And he met the need for the church there, didn't he? He met the need for Paul also, didn't he? He'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, here's what I say about that. He's supplying all your spiritual need. But then your mind changes to the fact you understand because you follow him spiritually, he's going to take care of you here too. Oh, do we go through things? Yes. But what is he going to give you? He's going to give you the faith to go through. He's going to give you the strength when things are bad. He's going to tell you good cheer when there's tribulation. You see how it works? But because you prayed, he holds you in the hollow of his hand. That's what God wants us to understand. We have a weapon that's underutilized, and it's prayer. We need to utilize it more and understand its part that it plays. So prayer and supplication, the asking and the need. God knows your need. I'll supply your need, he just said, according to his riches and glory, right? He knows your need. He already knows it, so he will supply it. What you have to do is believe. Here we go back to that word again. What you need to do is just believe. Believe that he will. Once you do that, God said, that's what I love. I love my people worshiping me. And coming to me and being humble enough to receive my word, being humble enough to pray, and being humble enough, Ernest, to have patience for me to work this thing out so that you will grow even stronger in faith in me. But we don't have any patience. I'm telling you that right now. Lord, I want it done now. I'm suffering. I don't feel like suffering. Wait a minute. If you're going to reign with him, you must suffer with him. Well, wait. I didn't get that part of the agreement. No, you better get it. Because if you're going to be like him, you have to go what he went through. It's as simple as that. If you're going to be a son and daughter of God, you have to do what he went through. And there's going to be times things aren't going to work out good for us, Patty. Things are not going to go hunky-dory, as one of my favorite terms I like to use. But you know what? He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Tribulation will come. Trouble will come. But you have Christ. You have the Father of Christ. He prays to the Father all the time. He said, Father, I don't do anything unless you tell me to do it. I don't speak anything unless you tell me to speak. I don't go anywhere unless you tell me to go. Wait a minute. I've given up my will for yours. That's what God wants. Hear what I said just now? I have given up my will for yours. I come to do thy will, O God. It's written of me in the volume of the book. Why? Our example. Now we follow the same way. Give up your will, get God's will, and he'll take you the whole way. He'll take you the whole way. We underutilize the prayer. Let's start praying in faith and believing God. This word that you hear, this gospel you hear, pray it back to God. These examples I gave you there will show you examples of how you should approach God. Take them down, look at them, read them, whatever, and see how you should approach God. Take your phone, take the picture of it. Go back home, look at them. Say, PK said you need to look at these. That's right. You have questions, give me a call. It's as simple as that. God wants us to pray. Do you think a father would like his children to communicate with him? Most assuredly. We are the offspring of God. Doesn't it say that in the 17th chapter of Acts? We are his offspring. We are his children. So a father likes to hear from his children. And he likes for them to be honest and humble when they come before him. When our kids came before us and they were lying to us and we knew it, we didn't feel good about that, huh? Quit lying to me. I know what you really did it. Well, God's the same way. Come on, be truthful before him. God, I'm weak in this way. Yeah, I know that already. I just wanted to hear you say it so I can help you. I don't hate you for it. I love you for it. You're honest. We like honest people, don't we? Be honest, be humble, and let God do what he's going to do for you. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? This is very important. Hear, O Israel. That means to hear, obey, follow, trust. In that one word, hear. Do it. Because that's what God is telling us to do. So, Wednesday night, now we're going to go into some things about what people call healings and all of that kind of stuff. It's very important that you be here Wednesday night. Because we're going to answer your questions about what all that means. And what you should be thinking and how, what level your mind should be on. Not here, there. Higher learning, higher places. Because we're fighting things that spiritual wickedness in high places. So your mind has to be higher than what it is now. And God will take you through this life, good and bad, and you will be rejoicing in it. Whether you have tribulation or whether things go well. You'll still rejoice because God's in charge. That's the key, huh? Does that make sense? Hope you got something out of what we said today.